Hello and welcome back to the Youth Trends podcast from VoxBurner. This week's guest is Joss Patterson, Senior Marketing Manager at ITV, who will be joining our panel on peak choice and the power of content discovery at YMS London this April. Ahead of YMS, she sat down with VoxBurner's founder Simon Eder to share her learnings from marketing hit shows such as Love Island and the rebranding of ITV2 for a new generation of young viewers. Hi Joss, welcome. So if you could maybe just introduce yourself and some of your background and role at ITV.
Yeah, sure. So I'm Joss Patterson and I am Senior Marketing Manager at ITV, where I look after ITV2, ITVB and CITV, so our youth brands. I've been at ITV for 7 years, which is mad.
Wow.
And before that I was at Sky for a bit. I did a very short stint at Secret Cinema, which was mad but lots of fun, and I started my marketing side of my career at Ogilvy in New Zealand.
So I know you've just rebranded ITV2 with young viewers particularly in mind. Was wondering if you could just maybe share why this audience is so important to ITV.
Yeah, of course. So first of all, ITV is the UK's biggest commercial broadcaster, so it goes without saying that that audience is commercially very important to us. But ITV, we talk about being more than TV, and it's true, we're made up of amazing characters that people connect with, stories that make you laugh or cry, and moments that get you talking, and those are things that unite people no matter their age or demographic. So we see ITV as being at the heart of popular culture, so with that it's really important for us that we have something for everyone, and obviously a big part of that has to be youth. But it's also important to remember the impact of young audiences on a brand. They're usually early adopters and they have a lot of influence on the market. And obviously with a brand like ITV, which is talking to the masses, you know, essentially they're our future. So they're really important to us.
And of course, ITV has created like some of the biggest TV shows with the youth demographic in mind, like Love Island, X Factor, of course, The Only Way is Essex. What have you really learned from these successes, and what have you found that connects with young viewers today?
Yeah, sure. So I think it's a few things really. What those shows all have in common and what we know resonates really well with young viewers goes beyond their ability to entertain people, which of course is still true and is at the heart of their success. But underneath that is that these shows have an ability to evoke a range of emotions that are very accessible and relatable to young viewers. So take Love Island, for example. The beauty of it is that it genuinely makes people laugh. You know, some of the moments are laugh out loud funny, and Ian Sterling as the voiceover is hilarious. It genuinely makes people laugh. But there are also touching moments where a lot of those people show their vulnerability, and the viewers very closely witnessing relationships developing and often ending, and that extends to friendships too. Not to mention all the drama, of course, which becomes very addictive. But that all adds up to a relationship between the viewer and the people that they're spending time watching. Personally, at the moment, I'm really upset because I finished Sex Education and I really miss Otis and Eric. And to find myself actually missing two characters like that in the show, I think that's really powerful. But ultimately, I think all of those connections create genuine fans, and fans talk a lot, and something like Love Island becomes social currency, which really is the sort of holy grail for a youth brand. So if you have people talking about your products or your services, your brand, you'll know you're getting to a good place. It's obviously fragile, but of course once a meaningful connection is established, it can be lasting.
So you speak about content being like hugely important, and obviously there's so much available content in the world today, but what is it particularly, do you think, about British TV shows that draws audiences back like time and again? Yeah. With so much other competition around, like
there is a lot of competition. Yeah, I mean, that again, there are quite a few things there. I think ultimately competition does fuel progress, so the platform and content landscape at the moment is more competitive than it's ever been before, which naturally elevates the quality out there. There's more investment in the market too, so in this country we spent £8.1 billion on screen, and that's obviously going to attract a lot of talent and foster talent both on and off screen. Tech also helps. Pretty much all the broadcasters have a VOD platform, And due to rights limitations, there's more availability of British content over US or non-UK content. But also, I personally think there's actually a cultural difference within UK networks, particularly compared to US. Commissioners and channel controllers are kind of a bit more willing to hold their nerve a bit when it comes to recommissioning shows, which might not have got the figures that they hope for, whereas in the US they're a little bit more cutthroat, and as you probably know from your own experience, they're likely to cancel shows if they don't get hit certain figures. So take, for example, Celebrity Juice or TOWIE or Love Island. Those are shows that you've just referenced, which are quite iconic now in popular culture, and we know they're really successful, and they're powered by very, very talented people. But they launched at actually a fraction of what they're currently doing now when they've reached their peak. And commissioners knew that those shows would grow, and I don't think you necessarily have that in the US. And then finally, and really importantly, I'd say that British TV is able to cater to different need states in a way that non-UK content can't, and that's really important. So when people choose the TV that they want to watch, it's out of different need states, different reasons and things that they need to find. So, for example, it might be for comfort, so times when stuff like soaps or shared family viewing plays a really important role, or the need state could be to unwind, where something like TOWIE or British comedy is what people need. But the really big one, I think, is shared experiences. So that's where live TV fills a really important gap that sort of non-UK content just can't fill. So if you think about things like sport, Love Island, I'm a Celebrity. When you're watching those shows, you're part of a shared experience across the whole country, and that's something that you can't replicate. Even really big hits like Stranger Things, which became a huge phenomenon, you know, that's huge and it got people talking, but it doesn't replicate that feeling for that shared moment. So,
and is that also the way you kind of steer off competition from like Netflix and...
Yeah, it's a really interesting one because SVOD platforms like Netflix and Amazon Prime are naturally our competitors because they are an amazing content platform and we're fighting for people's like bums on seats and eyeballs at the end of the day. But what we do find, and it's a constant sort of debate we have to have, and almost as a linear broadcaster, we have to defend ourselves sometimes, that SVOD or VOD is often complementary to live viewing, and it's not as cannibalising as people think. And if you think, even naturally, anecdotally, if you think yourself, when you're watching VOD, it's quite often at times when you're not going to be watching live TV because you're naturally, you might be in the bars, you might be on the train, whatever it is. So we need to think about them. Yes, of course they are competitors, but they're also incremental viewing on top of live TV. So we need to be careful about that distinction.
Understand. And in terms of like brands that get on board as your commercial partners, and I can like think of some like great brands,
yeah,
particularly in relation to like Love Island, stuff like that. What's your advice to them about how they work with you and the great shows?
Well, Love Island is a really good example because Love Island's actually probably had the most commercial partners we've ever had attached to a show. And that is for good reasons. It's obviously a huge success and it's a very compelling format. It's on for 8 weeks of the year, so there's a lot of it. And there's lots of different opportunities that feel relevant to different partners. I'd say if there was a piece of advice, I think it's just very basic, but it's about being as relevant as possible. You so often find that people try and shoehorn in a creative or a strategy that just doesn't fit the brand. And viewers and fans, you know, they're going to see through that. So I think it's just about, if you can't make sense of it yourself, if that connection, you have to end up explaining why that partner exists and what that sort of complementary function it has, then you're sort of in trouble there. I think it needs to be a very natural association and it has to have a very fundamental and easy to explain reason to believe.
So you're also very selective with which brands come on board?
Yeah, of course. You know, part of our duty as a broadcaster and like sort of the home of Love Island is to be really selective about the partners that we have on board. And it's, you know, it's a really important brand to us, Love Island. So of course we'll be selective about that.
So, excitingly, in just over a month's time, I know you're going to be joining the YMS panel speaking on peak choice and the power of content discovery. So as the ways young people discover content are always changing, what do you think media companies can do to ensure they remain like front of mind for young audiences?
Yeah, so, well, I think something that's true for all brands, but particularly media brands, is that at the end of the day, we're all telling stories. And fundamentally, those stories need to be as compelling as they can be. There are so many trends and buzzwords and myths about this audience, which you guys will be crucially aware of. And obviously it's important for us to bear those in mind and keep an eye on all of that. But fundamentally, as a marketing team and just as a group of humans, I think you have to ask yourself if you really believe in your content and your message. So for example, if you're launching a CSR initiative, can you say it's genuinely meaningful? If you want people to laugh, stress test that yourself. Is it genuinely funny? And then obviously finding the right media mix is vital for any brand, but the landscape is changing or can change very quickly with young audiences. And we've all got different requirements. But I'd say that in this evolving landscape, having really robust measurement in place is crucial to be able to refine the ways in which you reach the audience. And then crucially, as Shane Smith, founder of Vice, famously has said, young people of today have been over-advertised to. And as a result, they've got the most sophisticated bullshit detector. And the only way to circumnavigate the bullshit detector is to not bullshit. And I think he hits the nail on the head that authenticity is absolutely vital. It's a must-have, whether it's your tone, your language, your content, whatever it is you're putting out, it's got to be authentic, it's got to be true. And I think that brands often get wrapped up in the idea that being cool is being appealing to youth, but the two aren't mutually exclusive. And that's just not true for some brands. Some brands just won't be cool, but that doesn't mean that they won't be relevant to young people. So I think that trying too hard is a really quick way to turn off young audiences. So that's what I'd say is probably crucial to bear in mind.
So don't try and be cool, just don't bullshit.
Yeah, don't try to be cool if you're not, don't bullshit. Yeah, and I also think that for this audience, you've just got to listen to them more than any other audience. We're so quick to overgeneralize with this audience and make these sweeping generalizations about them. But there are so many segments within this group. We're broadly talking in TV terms, we're talking about 16 to 34s. You've got a lot of subcategories there. So there's no such thing as a catch-all approach to talking to young viewers. So I think being able to identify and really understand which ones you're going after will underpin the success of any campaign.
Good. So on to our final fire question.
Yeah, I'm not good at quick fire, but I'll give it a go.
Well, no bullshit, and I'm sure you'll be fine.
Yeah.
So what's been the best moment of your career so far?
Oh, it's a tough one, especially being on TV. I think I feel fortunate to be on TV because you get the opportunity to work on really fun stuff. But I have to say it's probably the i42 rebrand. It was a really ambitious project and we have seen the results, and it was also an amazing team effort.
What's your favourite app and why?
It's totally boring, but it's going to be Google Maps because I'm absolutely ashamed of how badly I can find my way around London after decades living here.
So relevant. And something that few people know about you?
Oh, don't know, maybe that I have a twin brother and we are the absolute polar opposites of each other.
Oh, wow.
But he's my number one life advisor, he's great.
Fantastic. And finally, what are you most looking forward to at YMS London in a few weeks' time?
I'm really looking forward to hearing from Meredith Ferguson from Do Something Strategic. I think causes are such an important thing at the moment, and yeah, I'm really looking forward to hearing from her.
Great. Look forward to seeing you at YMS in a few weeks too.
Thank you.
Thank you to Joss and Simon for that discussion. And we look forward to seeing Joss again and many more in a few weeks' time at London's Old Truman Brewery for YMS 19 London. Check out voxspinner.com for more information. And don't forget, you can use your code PODCAST10 for a 10% discount on tickets. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you back here next Monday for our next episode.